The subject we are going to study today, living in the present. So we have called it Dive into the Present. Dive into the present. In time, we have three arbitrary divisions: the future, the present, and the past. And even though in our mind we have a clear-cut division, okay, this is future, this is now, and this is the past, but there really is no division, there is no break. It is all a continuous flow of thoughts. Just as I am speaking, I am saying now, but the word now is already in the past. It is already gone because I said it, 5 seconds ago. And we find that the past merges into the present, and then the present, looks to the future. And so the future comes and becomes the present. Like 5 minutes from now, what I'm going to say in 5 minutes, it will be the present. And then what I have just said has become the past. So there is a continuous cycle of time, as it were. But in reality, they are all a concept in our mind. It's all only a thought. There is a thought of the future, then it becomes the present, but the present is very illusory. I'm not, because the moment I say now, immediately it has become the past. So where is the present? What is the present? But all our spiritual masters say that in meditation, I have to remain in the present. And spiritual unfoldment, spiritual realization can only occur in the now, can only occur in the present. Eckhart Tolle, called the power of now, he talks about the power that the now, the present has. But what is this present? Where is it? How can I dive into it? How can I hold on to it? Because it's constantly moving. It's like I'm standing on a quicksand or in a river where the water is continuously flowing. And how am I to grasp a portion of this water to stay here without moving? And that is the dilemma of spiritual seekers. The second problem is that thoughts are an obstacle in my spiritual progress, in meditation, in quietening of the mind. Thoughts, as it were, are a problem. Even though, yes, we need thoughts to understand, to deal with people, to work, to play, to talk, to communicate, to write, to read, even reading the Bible or the Quran or the Bhagavad Gita or the Guru Granth Sahib, they are all words. They are all thoughts of some great master, whether it was Jesus or Buddha or Guru Nanak or Swami Chinmayananda. But we still say that thoughts are a problem. And why is that? Because when I am engrossed in thought, I am either worrying about the future. This so-and-so thing has not happened. And when it happens, what will happen? Will there be a war? Will there be problems? Will there be a recession? Will we ever come out? Will my house ever rise in value? So I have either anxiety for the future or regrets about the past. I shouldn't have done that. That was the wrong thing to do. Why did I do it? I wish I could live my life all over again. And if I did, then, things would be different. If I knew now, if I had known when I was 18 or 19 what I know now, I would not have made the same foolish mistakes of childhood and youth. And that's the problem with old age. We have the wisdom, but then we do not have the ability to do anything. By that time, you know everything, but you can't do anything. You're too old. You're too weak. Nobody wants to listen to you. Nobody has time for you. So either I am regretting the past or I am anxious about the future. And even if for some brief moment I stay in the present, I have agitations about the present. I have physical agitation, my health, or my joint aches, or it's too hot, or it's too cold, so there are physical discomforts, or comforts, okay, I am fine. Or mentally, I have joys, I have sorrows, I have anxieties, I have confusion, I am either physically I have stress, or mentally I have agitations, joys and sorrows, or intellectually. I don't understand, nobody understands me, I am a success, I am a failure. So either I am regretting the past, or I am anxious about the future, or I am agitated about the present. So how am I to remain in the present, and what is the benefit of remaining in the present? Because as we said, thoughts are an obstacle, thoughts are a problem, especially when we sit for meditation, at least for me, and I'm sure for a majority of you, when you sit for meditation, the flow of thoughts, which we call the mind, is an obstacle to the meditative peace. So they say that when you sit for meditation, whatever techniques you apply, whether it's watching your breath, whether it's chanting the name of the Lord, whether it's relaxing the body, whether it's listening to the sound of a mantra or the beach or whatever, the idea is that from many thoughts, you come to one thought, and that is watching the breath or chanting the name of the Lord or the form of the Lord. But then ultimately, even that final thought gets dropped. And in that silence, you have already given up all your past thoughts. The past thoughts are no longer tormenting you. And your mind at that silent moment is not available for thoughts to come from the future. And in that moment of deep silence, in that moment of presence, is the Lord, is the enlightenment, is the peace, is the bliss, is the quietude. And that moment, if you can experience in meditation, then you can extend that slowly. You can make that moment of silence longer. And all the techniques of meditation that we do, whether it's thinking about the form of the Lord or chanting the mantra or watching your breath or doing the yoga exercises or breathing exercises, you know, the pranayama and all, they're all preparatory. They're all getting the mind ready for that moment of silence. When in that silence, you have no thought. Our Swami Chinmayananda used to say it very humorously. He says, when the past thought has been thoughted and no other thought is thoughting, there is no thoughted and there is no thoughting, in that silence is the experience of that. And that is what we have to do. And they say in that moment of silence between two thoughts is the goal of every meditator. And the idea is that moment of silence with alert awareness can be extended, can be lengthened, can be experienced. And when that experience becomes permanent, when that experience becomes unchanging, that is called realization, which we may experience from time to time. You know, periodically you may have brief moments, but for a realized master, he or she experiences that truth as his own self, as the Lord within. And in that silence, then that person, once having woken up to that truth, once having experienced that joy and that silence and that peace, then such a person never gets fooled, never gets deviated, never gets diverted from his highest state of knowledge. And the example they give is the waves. You know, there are waves constantly coming, one after the other, and the swimmer can either swim on the surface of the waves and then he'll get thrown about and each wave will knock him, or he can dive deep. There is one wave and the second wave, and in between the waves he dives and goes deep, deep, deep. Now when he's deep, no wave can touch him. The waves may keep on crashing. A person living on the surface of the ocean will be thrown about by the waves, pushed around here and there. But if he dives deep within the ocean, then he experiences that peace, that calmness, that silence, and no matter how many waves are crashing above me, I am in that experience. So that is the technique of meditation, where you go deep within that silence. And once you are in that depth, then no thought can affect you. Even if thoughts arise in such a meditator's mind, he can watch the thoughts as a witness. Okay, now there is this angry thought arising. Now there is this anxious thought arising. Now there is this happy thought arising. But none of them are me, because I am that silence. And once that thought is not entertained, it is not supported, it is not nourished by myself, how do thoughts propagate? When I pick them up, I follow them, I chase after them, I give strength to them. But if I just watch the thoughts and I'm not involved and remain as the silent witness, then that thought also dies. An absence of thoughts is peace. So in meditation, we actively halt the thought current and then do not allow new thoughts to arise. And in that depth, I experience my true nature. I experience the Lord within, that we have indicated by Om as the silence, as the peace within. And that experience is true meditation. Everything else is preparatory. Then people ask, this God that you are describing, the silence, the peace, the all-pervading, is he form or formless? Should I worship God with form, or should I worship him as the all-pervading, formless entity? Because that is how the Upanishads describe him. That he is that consciousness that is there everywhere, within and without me, everywhere. And we say that it depends on you. Now somebody comes and asks you, should I walk with a stick or should I walk without a stick? You say, if you can walk and run without a stick, you don't need to hold a stick. But say if your leg is hurt or your one leg is weak or you are recovering from an injury, then if you need a stick, go ahead and use it. There is no problem. Don't say that even though my foot is hurting, I will not use the stick. No, if you need a stick, go ahead and use it. And if your foot is such that it's going to need a stick for a long term, go ahead and keep using it. There is no problem. But if it comes to a stage where you can now walk and run by yourself, then drop the stick and leave it on the side. So similarly, meditating upon the form of the Lord or upon the mantra or upon the sound or upon the flame or upon a scene of the ocean. You know, these are all various techniques that we use are helpful, like that stick. They help you to walk. They help you to progress in meditation. But ultimately, you come to a state where even that form of the Lord, no matter how pleasant it is, you may be watching, you know, Jesus on the cross or Krishna playing the flute or Guru Nanak sitting peacefully, even that thought is an obstacle, because it is still a thought. Even though it's a form of the Lord, even though you're watching the Lord in your mind, it is still the form of a thought. So even that final form has to be dropped in that complete silence. But some people say, I worship the form of the Lord and it gives me great peace and makes me very happy, and I want to stay there. We say, that's fine. You know, there is no one path for all. We do not say that this is the only path and every other path is wrong. Whatever way you can reach that peace, that silence is fine, is acceptable. But whatever technique of prayer and meditation you use, it has to be done with firmness and with devotion, with total love and total firm adherence to that path. And they say that one who thus meditates in this way comes to a state called a samadhi. Samadhi is a Sanskrit word. Dhi means intellect and sama means balanced. So when that intellect becomes stable, becomes balanced, that mind becomes as if undisturbed, you know, like a lake which is just quiet and peaceful. There is no waves on it. There is absolutely no complete silence and complete quietude. When that mind becomes like that undisturbed surface, That is the state of samadhi. That is the state of objectless awareness, what they describe as objectless awareness. Now, that is a term that is a little bit difficult to understand, because our awareness is either of whether we are in deep sleep, okay, I'm in complete sleep, or if I'm aware, I'm awake, I'm always aware of something else, like I'm aware of the people and the chairs and the fan and the light, and I'm aware of my body, I'm aware of my thoughts, I'm aware of what I'm going to say, I'm aware of maybe a backache I have. So our awareness is always of another object. It is not objectless awareness. Whenever I'm aware of something else. So what is this state of objectless awareness that the Upanishads talk about, the great saints talk about? They say when your mind becomes completely still, because any awareness of anything is in the form of a thought. Like now this person is a lady, that is a thought in my mind. That person is a man, this is a chair. So any awareness is in the form of a thought, is in the form of a particular concept. But when my mind is completely still, when there are no thoughts, then even the awareness of my body goes away. Even the fact that whether I'm a man or a woman, or whether my body is hurting, or whether my breath is moving, or whether my mind is moving in that silence, even that body awareness goes away. And that is the goal of meditation. When you are in that complete silence, then even if you try to watch your breath, you know that the breath is coming, but I'm not able to feel it. So that experience that these sages describe is that state of samadhi, is that state of objectless awareness, where in that state, not even my body I experience, not even my breath, not even the pulsations of my arteries in my head. So that silence is called the samadhi, the state of objectless awareness. And that can only happen, again, as I said, in the present when thoughts are absent. And in that state, when I experience that divine state, when I experience that divinity within, I come to that experience that really I am that divinity alone. That alone is real. That alone is me. This body, this mind, this intellect, they're all equipments that I am using to function in the world. And in that objectless awareness, I experience my own self as the Lord, as the divinity, as the life principle, as Om, as we have indicated. But when I experience him within, then I experience him outside too. And that is the final state of realization, because they say there is no difference between self-realization and God-realization. They are one and the same. Because there is only one God, only one consciousness, only one awareness that is there in all beings, in all animals, all birds, all plants, all fish, all humans, and is there in me too. And ultimately, that alone is real. Everything else, this whole universe, is just a projection upon that consciousness, just as the waves are a projection upon the ocean. In the reality alone is the water. The water alone is real. The waves are just rising and falling, but have no permanent entity. But the only permanent entity is the water, the ocean. So, in that awareness, I experience that I am that reality, I am that ocean, and everything is the ocean. So, when I experience everything is that ocean, they are all me, then where is the hatred, where is the anger, where is the competition, where is the greed, where is the jealousy? Everything is me. Everything is me alone is there. That's why the saints are able to love everybody, because they see everybody as me, as one with me. And they have no hatred. Even when somebody is crucifying them, they still express that love. Talking about jealousy reminds me of this little story. This wife tells her husband, she says, you know, the neighbor's wife, she has a BMW. And I only have this little Honda. Why does she have a BMW and I have this Honda? And she doesn't want to talk to him. So he says, do you think we need to buy a BMW? She said, yeah, it's better than buying a new house. It's cheaper than buying a new house. And either buy me a BMW or let's move from here. So that is what our condition is, because we see somebody else, progressing, and we always want to compete. But when you see that oneness, then it does not matter, because everything is one. So that is called the seeing the self everywhere and seeing the Lord as the substratum, as the support. Just as all the waves have arisen from one ocean, all the mud parts, whether they are big or small or red or blue or short or tall or big or small, have all arisen from mud and mud alone. And a part will think itself to be different from another part. That part is bigger than me, this part is smaller than me, I am more beautiful and that part is ugly. But when the part discovers the mudness, that I am mud, then he sees the oneness, that all parts are me. It doesn't matter, big or small, pretty or ugly, rich or poor or successful. But not only that, but the wise part will realize that I am in fact mud. And even when this part state is broken, nothing happens to me because I am mud. Nothing can happen to the mud, no matter part may be broken and another part may be made, but the mud remains unchanged. So when I realize that I am that consciousness, I am that infinite reality who at this moment is playing this part of Anil or Kerry or Jayashree, whatever role I am playing is a role assigned to me, but in reality the role is not me. The role is the part I am playing at this moment. And I play the part to the best of my ability. Whatever my talents are, I use the best. But at the end of the day, when it is time for me to drop this part that I have, I realize I am mud. So even when this body is dying and leaving, the wise person does not get deluded, because he realizes that nothing happens to me, because I am that permanent consciousness. I am that mud, and this part is only a form that I have taken at this moment. And when this part breaks, I will remain the same. I will remain So that is the experience of the meditator, and that is the final experience. And once you have reached that, then such a person has no fear whether there is illness or good health or bad health, whether his body is declining, whether somebody is praising him, somebody is criticizing him, somebody is loving him, somebody. But it does not mean that this person becomes like a stone. He doesn't care, he doesn't experience any love. In fact, a wise person is full of love for all beings, because he sees them all as me alone. So he loves everybody, because he sees that the infinite Lord that has created me has created all these beings. And I myself are there in everybody. So his life becomes a life of sacrifice, of love, of sharing, of teaching. And that's why these great prophets left us the great, texts like the Bible, the Quran, the Bhagavad Gita, the Guru Granth Sahib, the teachings of Buddha, because these great masters, out of love and compassion, when they experienced the truth, they decided to share with us, to guide us out of our ignorance. So that is the path of meditation. That is the path of realization, that quieten the mind, experience the present, dive deep within, within the present, within the self, within, and experience that divinity, that brilliance.